Hey y'all, welcome to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. This is officially episode 8 of our podcast, and we are through midway part of the season. So just a little bit more than halfway through the 22 spring season for NCAA softball. Britt, what do you think about where we are right now?
It's the grind of the season. It's April. Next month is mayhem. So everything you do in April really leads up to the postseason. So those games you may have dropped earlier in the season, the teams you should have beat, now that's in the past, but that can't happen anymore. From here on out, if you're supposed to beat a team, you need to take care of business moving forward.
Yeah, so it's go time, baby. But so we're going to take you through a bit of a rundown of series from this past weekend and give you guys some score updates and what teams walked away with the series wins. So first up, we have Clemson and Boston College. Clemson walked away with the series, but Boston College did grab a game from the Tigers. Duke and Virginia Tech. Duke swept Va Tech. UNC Notre Dame. UNC took the series. Notre Dame did take a game. Syracuse and Georgia Tech. The Orange grabbed the series, but Georgia Tech did take a game from Syracuse. Pitt and Louisville, you had Louisville win and they won the series 2-1. However, Pitt did grab a game from them too, which was good for the Panthers. Florida State and NC State. Florida State swept NC State this past weekend. So, Britt, what was the most surprising series outcome in your opinion?
You know, I was kind of torn about two, maybe three, but
yeah.
Clemson dropping a game to Boston College is completely unexpected. We'll get into that a little bit later, I think. But for me, the biggest surprise is that Virginia Tech was swept by Duke. And the Thursday game, the first game of the series, was kind of a blowout. But the next two games were really competitive. I'm not saying Virginia Tech didn't show up. I'm not saying that Virginia Tech's better than Duke, that I was surprised that they lost a game. But I'm surprised they didn't steal one or take one from Duke. Because Duke, you know, their strength of schedule has really been a concern for a lot of people. They haven't been playing a lot of top teams, but they proved to me this weekend that we've been singing their praises all year long, but that they're the real deal. They can go up against top pitching, top hitting, and compete because they weren't shutouts. They were close games. Virginia Tech hit bombs. Duke was able to answer. But I think for me, this says more about Duke than it does about Virginia Tech. I'm not saying Virginia Tech is any lesser than they were last week because they got swept. They got swept by the number two team in the country. And I think they're rightfully the number two team in the country. But I was surprised that Virginia Tech wasn't able to get a win out of there. But the way they're swinging the bat and the way they're pitching is really coming on. I was surprised. Maybe a little bit of home field they were playing at Duke had a little something to do with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're spot on because I think really the reality and the storyline is that it's so hard to sweep a team no matter who it is. It's hard to beat a team three times in a row, days after day after day, right? Like the information, there's just too much information right now and the adjustments are so fast from every team. So Virginia Tech has been a team that historically has been good at making adjustments. And I think that's what I'm most surprised about is that Duke was still able to keep them at bay and so limited knowing the big bats that they have. So really good stuff from Duke, but I also think like you already mentioned, that's why we saw Duke jump so far too in the rankings, holding number two ranking across the country.
The last thing I want to add on that is, you know, it shows me that Duke can be a championship team too, taking the series and the last two games being very close and finding a way to win. And you like, I first time I heard it was from you saying championship innings, those fifth, sixth, seventh innings, and Duke showed that they can win championship innings. So I'm really excited to see that from that team.
Yeah, no, I agree. Really good step ahead. So I feel like my most surprising games and series was really just that Syracuse Georgia Tech series because I guess I just would have guessed if I had to have picked or guessed, I would have just said like, oh yeah, Georgia Tech's going to walk away with the series. That, you know, no surprise that Syracuse might definitely steal a game. And that's just because Syracuse has been pretty quiet. Georgia Tech was really loud for a while and they were loud with their bats. They had some really good numbers and impressive numbers across the country, not just in the ACC. They were leading for in home runs for a while and just really, I think, coming out of the shell, just absolutely swinging. So for Syracuse to kind of sneak in and take the series, I think was really surprising, in my opinion, because the Orange have been super flying under the radar the first couple weeks.
And Georgia Tech, you said they came out of the box, started the season blasting home runs, climbing the record, the leaderboards in all kinds of categories. Yeah. And it wasn't like they were playing trash teams. I mean, they were playing top 25 teams weekend yes. after weekend down in Clearwater. They played Alabama. Like, they were doing this off of really good teams, and they're struggling a bit more than I would have expected in ACC play. No chance that they peaked too soon, right?
Like, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, you know, typically they say that when you look at the season, you have your pitching staffs that are typically pretty dominant in the first part of season because your hitters are still getting loose with timing and at-bats. But however, we've seen that was not at all the case this year. The hitting is absolutely phenomenal this season. Offense is elite. I'm sorry, offense is controlling the game on a national scale for sure. But I don't think they peaked too early, right?
No, there's no chance. No. They're a well-coached team. Coach Amo right. is going to get it together. I think every season for teams have a roller coaster. You've got to have ups and downs. And I Correct. Think it's going to be how Georgia Tech responds for this. They're off this weekend from conference play. They've got a couple games against Auburn. So I think how they respond and come out. We always talk like our caution flags. Are you yellow, orange, red with Georgia Tech? Where are you at?
Yeah, maybe just the yellow. Like, I feel like we're not orange yet, not teetering on the red at all. But just, I feel like, okay, like, let's just put up our caution lights. Like, let's get back to who we are. Kind of like what Coach Morales was telling us was, hey, our identity, here's our talk right now. So maybe like trying to shift that talk a little bit. And maybe, you know, it was like they were eaten or whatever it was. And now it's like kind of how we joked on our interview with her. It was like, okay, now you got to be cooking, right? Somebody's got to be cooking because like we got to start eating again. So I feel like that's where they're at.
All that early success to trying to maintain that, the pressure to maintain all the home runs and the big hits and the high numbers. You know, as a hitter, you've got to think, well, if I don't hit a home run here, if we're not topping the ACC with home runs, they may be putting that extra pressure on themselves and it's affecting them in the box.
Yeah. Well, you talk about the highs and the lows of season. Everybody knows that has been successful and throughout their lives at any point, you can't ride the highs and the lows. Like, you've got to stay as close to steady Eddie as possible. Trust me, when things get good, like, you can enjoy the moment. You can ride the high a little bit. And when things get low, yeah, you can be a little pissed. You can ride. Like, kind of just that feeling of like, okay, I don't like this, but don't stay there. Don't stay in either one. Like, you've got to teeter into that like middle territory. I don't know.
I think they'll be all right. I think you're right. I think they'll be all right. But They set a high bar so early. So
yes, we'll see. Time will tell. So let's get into a couple hot takes of the week. All right. Let's start with Abby Dunning.
Look, let me tell you, Abby Dunning, we've talked about her multiple times on our podcast, but now she got some big time achievement. She beat Clemson this past weekend and she went the distance, and I watched her against these top 20 hitters, and she can be elite, Alex. She throws the ball 70 to 72 miles per hour, and she's just a little thing out there, and she's got a screwball, like a legit screwball, and if she can get that call on the inner half of the plate, that inside corner, she is going to be messing with some people's days. She is going to have some major upsets, and she got roughed up the first game of the series. I think she made it through it inning in a third, comes back out the next game, starts that game throwing 72 in at the hand and placing that ball on the inside. I mean, she was elite against Clemson. And I think if she can find some consistency, because she was struggling for game one with finding the zone, if she's able to zero in on the zone, she is going to make some noise for Boston College. She is going to ruin some people's days. She's going to She's single-handedly going to take games from teams moving forward in ACC play. And she has my respect. I love what she's doing. I was so impressed by Abby Dunning in Boston College.
Oh, yeah. She is, I think, the talk of the town for the Eagles. Because if anybody is watching Boston College, if anybody's playing Boston College soon, Abby Dunning is who they are looking out for. So we know, too, with where the game is right now, fast, when you're throwing, like, velo in the circle, it's coming in now at 69, 71. And if you're Carlin from Tennessee, you're at maybe 73, 74 is what I see and what I'm hearing. And you know that when you have velo, the first pitch, I feel like, that you have to establish isn't something on the inside part of the plate, right? So you've got to be able to paint locations, and Dunning is so good at that. So that alone is setting her apart. And then mixing in how some of her pitches run and just some velocity changes overall, I think is where she's finding a lot of her success.
Yeah, so, and the confidence she got from that game is going to take her even further. But are you concerned about Clemson?
I mean, a little. I feel like I'm confused. I don't know if I'm concerned. Like, what are they doing is what I just want to ask. Like, I don't know anybody to be able to ask those questions that, like, would be a appropriate, right? So I just want to be like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they know. They're dealing with some injuries. Noller has been out for, she just came back, not 100%. She was out for like 15, 16 games. Cagle was out for a little bit with injuries. And then this past series, Cagle was playing right field when she wasn't pitching, which she has done before earlier in her career, but it's very surprising to me to see Cagle back in right field.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to fill some spots with injuries, and they're still trying to find the right lineup that works together. And we talked about the pressure with Georgia Tech setting the bar so high early in the season. I think Clemson, this is the inaugural senior class that started this program.
If there's time for Clemson, it's right now.
Right.
Think
about that pressure that puts on. They didn't have a target on their back, and then so quickly they created this brand new program that's a household name, and they're so close to the World Series last year. They want to take that next step, have that legacy. I feel like there's some extra pressure, and it adds maybe some tension to the team. Purely speculation, but
that's... speculation. And you get paid big bucks to speculate there, babe. But like a couple things. Pressure is a privilege.
Right.
And what do they say about pressure with like your gemstones, right? Like pressure makes diamonds, right? Like diamonds are formed under pressure. Come on. Nothing good in life comes without a little bit of fight, a little bit of grit. And it's hard. Like you're not going to Clemson to not be freaking fabulous at a sport that you play.
But they didn't know that coming in. They committed to Clemson for John Rittman's vision. But Alex, you've been through the grind. You've been through the pressure moments. Highly successful, but you were able to see other Florida State players ahead of you do that and have that success. Clemson, these girls have never seen anybody before them do what they're doing in that uniform.
But think about it.
I know, I get
it. Be the one to write the record books.
Right.
People coming before you, you are the people. Nobody was before you. You are the people. So like, own it. Love it.
Yeah.
Like, embrace it. And if you fall flat on your face, who cares? Nobody came before you. You are making history with every accomplishment.
So
right. Every accomplishment, every feat that is faced, like you are the ones doing it and leading the charge. So own it. Because like they were chosen for a reason. And I don't know, maybe I see that now from the outside looking in, or maybe in hindsight looking back, right? Because it's always clear once you've been there, done that, right? In a different capacity, of course. But it's just like, I see it as opportunity for these kids. And I just get so fired up.
Because they have so much talent. Love it. They're so good.
Right. Like Valerie Cagle.
You just don't want to see that.
You have more talent in your freaking pinky toe than I have in my body. Yeah. And like, I thought I was like, okay. But it's like, you are so good. Like, oh my gosh, sister, I just want to see you freaking succeed on every level. I don't know.
We definitely want to see them succeed.
Gosh,
and I think they can get there. They have the talent. I think they just need to, you know, playing with house money. You know, from when you stepped on campus, nobody expected anything from you, and you're doing
that.
I love that.
I love that phrase. Yeah, you're playing on house money. That's good. That's a good thing. I want to be playing on house money.
Right.
I want to be playing on my own money.
No.
Okay, so a couple more hot takes. Florida State may turn a corner. They may turn a corner.
Okay.
They know how to win in big games. Florida State knows how to win in big games because they have been there. They have been the team that wasn't supposed to make it, that wasn't supposed to win against some of the people that they're playing on paper, right? They've been there. They've done that. So I think that the Noles know how to perform in those high-pressure situations. And I think that, honestly, they sometimes ride the wave of the up and the downs. And that's why the downs are so bad sometimes, because instead of just staying even-keeled and being like that top tier team of like, hey, yeah, they're good, they're cruising, they're whatever, it's like, oh, they're really good, and oh, they lost to who is what I feel like the Noles are kind of facing right now. I think the Noles could turn a corner, and I think they will turn a corner. I think they may not necessarily host like either, well, maybe not a super for sure.
No.
Maybe. I don't know. No. Crazier things have happened.
No.
But maybe not even a regional, but they could go into somebody's regional and go on a run.
Oh, no doubt. So. You don't want Florida State coming to your regional.
Correct.
Are you kidding me?
Correct.
I think I like your take. I do. Because we always have to have faith, and history tends to repeat itself.
Right.
Right. They have great leadership with Kocha. And if anybody's going to turn a corner, it's going to be Florida State. I think they have some work to do if they want to host. I don't think they're out of the hosting picture, but I'm not sure they're on the bubble right now.
Fair. Fair.
I like that take, though.
Yeah. There's some good stuff ahead just overall. I think I really do believe that. I think that there's been some pivotal moments like in people's brains. Like you can just see things like clicking like, oh,
And you have a front row seat to them almost every weekend calling their game. So if anybody's going to see those small things as an alumni, former player for Florida State, and sitting there calling their games, if you say they're going to turn a corner, I'm going to believe you that they're going to turn a corner.
Moments of brilliance, I will say. moments. But all right, so a couple more hot takes on some pitcher player youngsters of the year contenders. What do you have first on that?
Pitcher of the year, I think Jayla Wright is running it. I mean, we could sit here and list off all of her numbers, but anybody can go look those up. Let me tell you, she's been spectacular. And after last year, she took over the number one spot after Peyton St. George left, graduated. And I think she felt that pressure of having to be the number one. She had a decent year, but wasn't as good as she could be. But this year, she is playing free. She is owning the zone, owning the circle. Her presence, we've talked about, is just spectacular. And she is top in the nation in ERA. She's running the conference. Nobody wants to see Jayla Wright in the circle. For me, she is by far my front runner for pitcher of the year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I got to have a first hand and just watching her compete, and it was legit. Like, that the only word I have is legit, because like when somebody's stuff is just moving and it's just nasty and they're confident and they're just like, yeah, I'm cruising, like I'm rolling, give me the ball, something's going on, give me the ball, you're like, ooh, okay, you're kind of dangerous out there. So yeah, I completely agree. The numbers I think that she's putting up is awesome. I think that you hit the nail on the head when we were talking to Coach Young, Britt, and you were just asking, like, what is it that's changed this year? Because she's always been good physically, but it's, like, her mentality. Something else, like, what do they say now? Like, she's got that dog in her. And she does. Like, she's got that bite. She's got that grit. Like, when somebody wants the ball like that, you know that it's like, okay. And then the physicality, like, the performance and output speaks for itself. Then you're like, okay, damn. Like, She's really good. So yeah, she's got that dog.
Yeah. And nobody's talking about her.
And I actually think that's the best part, because it's like, she will come in and absolutely wreck people's day through postseason. And I think that people are starting to be like, okay, Duke's really good. Obviously some of the rankings and stuff now coming in,
right?
Being in a top five spot alone, let alone number two, you're like, okay, they're doing something right over there. I don't know what it is and I don't know why, but they're doing something right. And that's people on the outside looking in. I think we know very much about what they're doing right. So
no doubt.
Anything else on Jayla?
No, I'm just impressed by her. And she's got that dog. It's almost like she dares hitters to come in the box after. Like, how dare you try and hit off me? I love it. I love it.
Try, right? Yeah. I love it. Try. So, okay, maybe we save our player of the year projection for next week.
Okay. I know you've got a freshman of the year that you want to throw out there.
I do. And I'm going like big scale. I'm thinking like ACC freshman of the year, but I'm also thinking like NCAA, NFCA freshman of the year. Like legit. Jason E. Beacham from Florida State's numbers are absolutely insane right now. She's hitting on the season through 33 games. So she started every game. She's hitting 40. So just shy of 5. Here's the kicker. 6 strikeouts. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure my freshman year I had like 30 or 40 strikeouts. I mean,
as a freshman, 470, not a slapper.
No.
Not a slapper. Righty. Just using speed, righty. Correct. Swinger, freshman. Swinger. Playing against top competition.
Yeah. So just that's crazy to me. That's crazy. 7 doubles, a triple, 7 home runs on the year. She is the starting third baseman for Florida State, right-handed hitter. And then you look at her conference numbers, like she's hitting 500 in conference so far. So she's had 24 at-bats. She's 12 for 24 in conference. She has a perfect 100 at-bats on the season. So 47 hits through 100 at-bats. Her freshman year, 6 strikeouts. Like, that's insane. I just think that it's insane because these players come in as freshmen. And they're really good. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been recruited. They're really good. But I always think, and I still think, I thought it when I played as well, like there is a transitional period of time. It's a different length of time for everybody. But like the game just gets that much quicker.
Absolutely.
Like just one step quicker. And you've got to figure it out how to adjust, right? Whether it's on the base path, whether it's you defensively, people that you're facing are quicker, whether it's you're in the box hitting, the pitchers are just that much quicker. There's a transition. And for Jason E. Beacham, there's been no transition. I'm sorry. Like, she just came in, like, rocking and rolling. And I think that's nuts. Insane, nuts, crazy. They're all the words that I have.
I agree. I think you're going to have to be hard-pressed to find somebody else that has those numbers as a freshman. And playing third base, right? Like, the hot corner, only 2 errors at third base? Come on.
And
where's her ceiling if this is her freshman year? Like, scary.
I'm a little scared. Scary. I'm a little scared too. And like that was the thing. Like I watched her this weekend, obviously playing third the whole time. You know, they were playing NC State, like good series back and forth. It was a lot of fun. And I mean, like, some of these NC State hitters are just freaking roping balls down the line. And like Jason is like just wearing them off the chest, like boom, ball, fall. And like she fires a freaking missile across the diamond. And you're like, okay, like got it. You know, like not only does she have to field it cleanly, she'll wear it. She'll make a play, recover so quick, like her footwork, everything. Like she's just an athlete. So anyways, I'm going NFCA, NCAA, you know, whatever the actual award is for freshman of the year. Cause I know for player of the year across the country, it's, you know, it's sponsored by somebody.
It's gotta be locked up ACC.
It should be like, Lock and key.
Like, give her the trophy now.
I feel like, yeah, come on. Because she could have a couple of rough weekends and still put up, I don't know. I mean,
she'd go 0-for and still probably be batting over 300.
That's not right. The year. I don't know. But I just,
she's not going to undo that.
Right. But if she did. So, yeah. I don't know. That one, I'm, that's my hot take for sure. Okay.
I love it.
Couple more things that we should really start talking about. This is ACC applicable. But this is just a college softball thing right now. So the review and challenge rule of runners leaving early. First of all, I think that alone is a crock of shit. Second of all, I am like wanting to jump out of my chair on the last play of games because I've seen it multiple times where like a game is ending and the opposing coach is going to review whether or not the runner that was on base left early. And typically, let's call it what it is. It's the coach that is losing is asking for the play to be reviewed. And I just want to be like, bro, it's the last play. Like, y'all had all these other chances. Like, this was not a pivotal moment, but you're going to review it just because you can. It's like a tactic at this point. And I actually can't stand it. I don't know if it's just a personal thing. I don't know. Like, I wasn't a base stealer. Like, I don't feel personally offended by this rule. I don't feel like if it was a rule when I was playing, I would have been impacted at all. But I do feel like as a player, I would have had the same outlook. Like, out of all the plays in the game, you're going to pick this one?
Right.
And it's just not sitting well with me. So my hot take is I can't stand the review and like replay rule, or I guess like the time being taken to look at these plays for people leaving early on the base path. However, I also have wanted to vomit when things get reviewed, like pitches get reviewed for people leaving early and the hitter hits a home run,
yeah,
a dead ball, no pitch. The runner is out because they left early and then the home run is taken from the batter. I want to jump out of my seat or quite frankly come through the television most of the time because one, who's watching the base runner on a home run? Like, not me, first of all. Second of all, base runner, what the hell are you doing? Where are you going? Like, just sit at the back.
Right.
What? Like, what? What? Because they're not stealing. Like, you know what? Like, it's happened on more than a handful
just
of occasions.
Just getting a lead, yeah.
They're not stealing.
You're not alone in this camp at all, but I am excited to talk about it because I hate it as well. I think it is bad for the game. I think it takes away from the game. There's so many rules that they are implementing, the pitch clock, action clock, trying to speed up the game, the pitch calm to speed up the game, only so many timeouts to speed up the game. And now we're going to take time to review if a runner left early. And to me, I equate it to, you watch football, right?
Yes.
You know about football. An offensive lineman, false start. It's when O-line's down and set, the O-line cannot move until the ball is hiked. And any flinch or movement, throw flag, false start offense. You know how many times they flinch and move before the ball is hiked? Yep. All the time, but all it doesn't time. Get called. Do you think NFL is going to go back and review that? No, because it doesn't make sense to do so. Why they implemented this rule this year, I don't know who walked into that rules meeting and was like, hey, guys, let me tell you something that's going to make the game better. I've got an idea. And then everybody's like, hell yeah, that's just going to take the game to the next level. And we always talk about the intent of the rule. This is not the intent of the rule. You're not gaining an advantage by this far. Look, if it's egregious and you're getting an advantage, guess what? The umpire's going to freaking call it, right?
Right. Like they have for however many years.
Like, right.
That's what is so freaking annoying. Like, I freaking can't stand it, bro.
Game change, momentum changing, home runs off the board for this much. Like, a rule's a rule, right? But what's the intent of the rule? Is to not get a clear advantage from the runner leaving first to take second. And if it's egregious, it's going to get called. And you know what? Correct. Sometimes umpires miss calls. It's right. The beauty of the sport. You don't have to be perfect all the time. You have to overcome this stuff and stop it. Just stop it. It takes too long. It's ruining the pace and flow of the game, and it is completely unnecessary.
Well, I like that you use the reference of football, because then I started like asking questions about baseball. Because I'm just like, if we're trying to get, like, baseball's been around for well over 100 years, clearly they're doing something right. Okay, let's talk about it, right? It kind of goes back to like our run rule. Baseball doesn't do it. At least sometimes they do now, depending on travel days or doubleheaders, things like that. But that's the only time. So it's like, why are we still doing some stuff? So then you implement this rule in softball. Baseball does not have that. However, to be fair, they don't have like a leave early. Base runners in baseball don't get penalized for anything other than, of course, like sac flies. Yes, you can leave early. Like, you know, balls, if you run on the baseline and a ball hits you or something that's batted, like, yes, that stuff becomes a dead ball. But like, all they have is box, and that's at the pitcher. So it's like,
but like, it's not like you can be like, oh, I thought he balked. Let me go.
Yeah. Like,
and maybe he did flinch and didn't go towards home plate. And that's the other thing with this rule. The majority of reviewable plays is when an umpire makes a call. Correct. He calls an out. He calls, or she calls safe. They call fair foul. A call was made. Right. This is, nothing was called.
Yeah.
And coaches, as they should, have somebody sitting on their bench watching that runner every single pitch to see if they left early, just in case that hitter hits a home run.
Yep, it's atrocious. So, hot take. I think I could say we, but I'll say I hate the review and replay of base runners leaving early in all facets of the game, to end the game, on home runs, on really everything. Yeah. So, hate it.
Stop changing the game.
Stop it.
That's just too much. Even maybe next week we're going to go into obstruction, because I have a really hot take of something I saw this weekend that I'll get just as fired up on. So,
okay, let's do it.
Yeah, we'll plan on that for next week. But perfect. I think same we had a great, great discussion this week. Got our hearts pumping.
Gosh, now I'm fired up. I was tired, like a little, because I'm a little tired. Just headed into the week already, and I'm woke. I'm not woke. I'm woken up. So RPI, to close it out, we had obviously some numbers come through today. So what do you have on some RPI updates?
Yeah, Duke is sitting pretty at number 8, right there where you want to be to host a regional, set top 8 seed to host a super regional. And that's the best way to get to Oklahoma City, is the top 8 seed. So they're right there at 8 in RPI. They've got to try their best to try and stay there, set themselves up well. Clemson, even with their struggles, they're at 13. That puts them hosting regionals. Obviously more that goes into it than RPI, but if history repeats itself, that's a regional host. Virginia Tech, surprisingly, at 23. Could you imagine Virginia Tech having the season they're having right now and going to somebody's regional? Ouch.
I wouldn't want them. No.
And then Florida State, your hot take, them being able to host a regional, comes at 26. UVA right behind them at 28. Yeah. So I think the rest of the conference has got some work to do, but we've got some bubble teams right now, and we'll see some more movement as the season goes on.
Yeah, for sure. So looking ahead at this week, we've got a couple of series coming up for some more ACC conference play. We've got Clemson at Syracuse, Pitt at Boston College, Virginia at the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, Virginia Tech at NC State. That'll be a fun one. Wolfpack impressed me last week. So UNC at Duke. Ooh, Britt, that'll be a good one for you and your Tar Heels. Florida State.
Hope so,
right? Yeah. Hey, I'm asking for some good close games. That's what I like to see. So Florida State at Louisville, and Georgia Tech is off from conference playing a couple of games versus Auburn, which would also be awesome for them, especially if they can get a win or two over some SEC blood.
Hell yeah.
Hell
yeah.
We
always want to beat the SEC.
Cool. So any last thoughts closing out episode 8 of the pod?
No, I just want to go back to what you said at the beginning. This is April. This is when it counts. Everything matters now. It's going to get fun. We're going to see some great games and some great competition. It'll be a great week in the ACC.
Yeah. If the season is a mountain, we're no longer up that upward, you know, trudge of time and just effort. We're kind of on the downward slope. So we should be smooth sailing at some point in the next couple weeks, I think.
Yeah. No more identity.
Correct. That identity falls in.
Yeah.
Fair.
There you go.
Fair. All right. Good stuff. Well, thank you guys for joining us for episode 8 of Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. And of course, as always, if you guys have questions or ideas about topics, things that you would like to hear us talk about, all comments and ideas. So leave them for us in the comments below. Awesome. Well, you guys have a good night and good week. Bye.